So we will call the Desert Community Energy Board meeting of the JPA to order April 19, 2021 at 2:30 p.m. Trisha, can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, Chair. Cathedral City?
Present.
Palm Desert?
Present.
Palm Springs?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Our next item is public comments on agenda items. So this is the time for members of the public to address the committee on agenda items. We will also, I know we have some on specific items, we can also take them at the specific item if people would prefer to do that, if they've let us know. So if you did let us know, we can do that unless you prefer to speak now. If you didn't let us know, speak now or put something in chat so we know.
We have a comment from David Friedman.
Great.
Mr. Friedman. Good afternoon, board members. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Good afternoon, board members. My name is David Friedman. As you know, I chair the DC Community Advisory Committee and its Palm Springs Working Group. I am speaking on agenda items 6B and 6C, respectively, the carbon-free subsidy for low-income customers and the environmental content for the carbon-free product. The working group met on April 5 to consider these issues, and on behalf of the working group, I provided our views in public comment at last week's Palm Springs City Council meeting. We agree with the council and DC staff recommendations outlined in the staff reports for these agenda items. Considering DCE's need to maintain prudent finances while keeping electricity rates as low as possible and contributing to the GHG reduction goals set out in state policy and the Palm Springs Sustainability Plan, the working group recommends that DCE suspend the 100% carbon-free plan for CareFira customers. We also recommend that the carbon-free product continue to be sourced solely from carbon-free generation with a renewable content target of no less than the annualized state RPS requirements. As DCE's financial reserves are built up, it should strive to restore the 100% carbon-free plan to CareFira customers, as well as increase the renewable portion of the carbon-free product beyond the minimum state requirements. Thank you for your consideration.
Great, thank you, Mr. Friedman, and thank you for your work. I see a hand raised, and if you are online and wanna speak, please raise your hand on Zoom or hit *9 if you're on the phone, and that is phone number 760-324 is how it begins.
Yes, hi, my name is Brad Anderson. Hi, I'm sorry.
Hi, Brad.
Welcome. Hi, yes, my name is Brad Anderson. I live in the city of Esmeralda. I just wanted to sit in on the meeting today and just let you know I'm here, and hopefully I can reserve the right, or not right, but the request to chime in if necessary on agenda items, and that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Do we have any other speakers on agenda items at this time?
There are no other hands raised, and we did not receive any comments by email.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. So we will close this public comment period. And we'll move to board member director comments. So any members have any comments? Okay, I have one, and I know Svaros will have some. But one is really to thank you, Katie, for the great presentation you pulled together for the Palm Springs City Council. And we're able to do it at 11:30 p.m. Really just a great job. And, you know, I thought council had really thoughtful questions and it was a really good discussion. And I want to thank my fellow board members for supporting bringing those back to Palm Springs to get input. And I think we got some really good input at that meeting. So I appreciate everyone's support in moving in that direction and really appreciate the staff presentation you did. So thank you for that. And I know you have some comments you want to share with us as well.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the of DCE. I have a couple comments, actually. One, to follow on your comment, Chair Kors. We are working to make sure that our customers know that there are energy efficiency opportunities for them that they can make. And obviously, as we start to move into the warm months, it's the time to be thinking about that. One of those is certainly Southern California Edison offers a lot of programs, and DCE customers are eligible for those programs. There are a couple programs that we do not offer, and we could certainly provide information about the rebates and incentives, as well as some of the other programs that that SCE has are available to Desert Community Energy customers, just as they are to Edison customers. And we are putting out through social media suggestions and hints for folks to find ways to conserve energy. And we'll be also making clear the programs that folks are eligible through the website. So that's one comment. The second is I have actually a couple of PowerPoint slides, if we could get those up. We wanted to recognize that as of April, we're a year from the official launch of DCE in the city of Palm Springs. And we wanted to just appreciate the efforts that the city has made and the board's support for that in moving us forward, a big step. Next slide, please. And just to review, I think especially as we look at the week coming up with Earth Day on Thursday, it's great to recognize the efforts the city has made. Go ahead with the bullets, please. The reduction in the carbon footprint for the city, which is increasing as we go along. Desert Saver customers are still saving with a product that is slightly less than Edison. We have obviously made a great step forward with the local wind energy project that will bring local jobs, and the solar plus battery storage project, which is another exciting opportunity. Next slide, please. Just to recall the local project with TerraGen, actually those large turbines are going to be starting to spin sometime in the next couple days. We've been waiting for TerraGen to give us the official word on those turbines. Next slide, please. But just as a reminder of the great day we spent out there and the benefits that this brings to our whole community in terms of cleaner air and cleaner electricity and local jobs. So with that, I want to appreciate all the efforts made by everyone involved to get us this next step, and we'll continue to look to the future. That's all I have. And of course, Earth Day this week, and we can all think about ways to make our contributions in terms of Earth Day. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll move next to the consent calendar. One item is approval of the minutes from our board meeting of March 15th, 2021. So any changes, questions, or a motion?
Move approval, Cathedral City.
Second, Palm Desert.
Hey, great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes, so it passes unanimously. We'll move next to our discussion and action items. So the first is the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget review, and Don Dame, I believe, will be doing that presentation. So welcome, Don.
Good afternoon, folks. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Good afternoon.
Okay, good afternoon, board members. Today we're going to do a cursory level outline of the budget process coming over the next 2.5 months or so. You're all aware that by June of each year, our JPA requires the board to adopt a budget for the next fiscal year. And historically, we've taken that opportunity to go out 3 years, 1 year for our budget, and then 2 forecast years beyond that next budget year. The budget we're talking about is fiscal year 2021-2022, which goes from July 1st of 2021, this coming July 1st, through June 30th of 2022. Next slide, please. Could you please fill in the bullets for me, please? And then I'll talk from it. Yeah, that's okay, that's good. So we are currently using the TEA financial model as it changes from time to time. TEA typically updates that model whenever there's been any significant change to market prices and or our expected loads or resources. So we are currently using the financial model that was done April 6th of this year, but we will revise that model over the next month or two as we get into June. And when we present the final budget in June, we will use the then available latest TEA model so that we have the most updated figures available. We intend to use, subject to your direction today, we intend to maintain the 100% carbon-free default product as a budget assumption for the Palms Springs CCA. And we're proposing that you consider providing that carbon-free product at the least cost compliant composition, which will save a handful of dollars annually. We are continuing to offer the Desert Saver product at full RPS compliance, a slight configuration change, but that configuration change will maintain full compliance with state renewable portfolio standards. And it will also, the carbon-free will maintain a approximately 0.5% total bill to total bill discount against the Southern California Edison alternative-based product. For our 100% carbon-free product, we're proposing to maintain current rates and continue to monitor revenues versus costs over the next budget year with an eye to reducing the total premium if and when we are able to do so. Is there another bullet on this page or should we slip to that? Okay, and again, you heard me say, we're gonna maintain the Desert Saver rates at about a half of 1% below the SCE bundled product. Next slide, please. Please, back up. So on the carbon-free subsidy options, this is another area where we're looking for input on whether we are going to maintain the 100% carbon-free subsidy options for low-income customers, or possibly shift those customers into the Desert Saver product. In any case, it will have no month-to-month billing impact on those low-income customers. We are also anticipating continuing the ongoing DCE relationship with CVAG and the CVAG staff and organization, as you have done for the last several years. We're assuming that Palm Springs CCA continues with its full operations as it did during the last fiscal year, and that Palm Desert over the next year will consider its launch options. But in this particular budget cycle, Palm Springs CCA is not considered to be active over the next fiscal year. And again, as I started off, we're gonna do a three-year projection with fiscal year 22 being our primary budget year, and then forecast out through fiscal 23 and fiscal 24 to get an idea of where we think our revenues and costs are going over that time. Next slide, please. Our goals are consistent with where they've been since the inception of DCE, to recover all costs and contribute to and build reserves, to meet requisite credit terms and conditions, to follow sound business practices, to establish a creditworthy rating for Desert Community Energy, keep the board and management involved and informed of our current financial conditions and any change in those conditions, serve member and customer interests, and adhere to all adopted board policies and directives with regard to budget processing and procedures. So with that, I think I have one more slide, do I not? Today we have our information outline. In May, we will bring a full mock-up of forecasts, numbers, revenues, and the like associated with our fiscal year 22 budget process. And in June, based on the best available information at that time, we will bring a budget for fiscal year 2022 to the board to consider for adoption. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions any of you may have.
Any questions?
Just one quick question, if I may, Mayor.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. So Don, your report, I think, had a very preliminary budget. I'm just looking for that. I think it projected, was it a $1.2 million surplus?
Yes, yes, Mr. Jonathan. Just as a cursory review on the numbers, last year's budget, the one we're in right now, when we did the budget last June, we were looking at about a $37.5 million total revenue projection. The budget for fiscal 22, as we speak, projects about a $42.9 million revenue requirement. And that's primarily due to the that change in amount from $37.5 million to almost $43 million is primarily driven by resource adequacy and power market costs that have increased significantly over the last year. As your memory served you quite well. Yes, go ahead.
Let me just, because I want to make sure I get my question answered. So let me, because it was kind of a pregnant pause. I apologize. I see the preliminary budget. I know what you're talking about, the revenues and the costs. My question to you is, and I know that you've provided an allowance of $1.5 million for uncollectible accounts. My question to you is, you've indicated a schedule of progressively more detailed, more final type budgets.
Yes.
What's your sense of how close we will end up to this extremely preliminary notional macro budget?
I actually think we'll be quite close to this. There is a little relief in the power markets, but that could change if we get a sudden system situation that shows up, or some really, really hot weather like we had last August. But we are currently projecting the unadjusted net revenue of just under $3 million. And as you suggested, with uncollected accounts, and this is one of the COVID-19 impacts that you and other CCAs are experiencing, we're going to lop about another $1.5 million off of that to conservatively account for what we think are likely slow paying and or delinquent accounts over the year. So we'll see about at the end of the year, a little over $1 million net revenue in our hand. And my suspicion, again, subject to some very destabilizing event in the power market situation or the California system operations, I think we're probably within 5% of where I expect we'll be in June, if not a little closer.
All right. The $1.5 million of uncollectible is significant when you look at the bottom line. I mean, it cuts, you know, our actual bottom line to less than 50% than it otherwise would be.
Yes.
There are no subsidies from the federal government or other agencies. I mean, people that cannot pay their bills. And I have understanding and sympathy for them. I'm not saying let's get the bill collectors on them, but I'm asking if at the end of the day, those really are uncollectible, or is there some other source of reimbursement that we can expect or apply for or hope for?
Well, there's a couple of different avenues to take. One of them, and I know DCE staff is working on this, is some small discounts for folks that get current with their bills. So you may take 75 or 80% of what's owed in order to encourage folks that are delinquent to pay their bills and receive at least the preponderance of what's owed. That's one avenue. DCE staff is also looking on possible federal funds avenues. Unfortunately, they're not as clear and direct, and there's a handful of different trails that you end up going down. I know the CalCCA folks are working on that as well. So the short answer is we're hopeful, but there's no direct expectation that in the near immediate future we're going to get compensated.
Thank you. And I can promise just my on final... that,
Sabi, just to finish on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we funded as a city a little over $500,000 to Lift to Rise for rental assistance and utility assistance. And we're working to make sure that people who are getting that are paying their utility electric bills. We're also trying to do that, although this came up after the business grant program started, but that if they're getting city funding, you know, we need to see them paying their electric bills, you know, and getting out of that delinquency. So hopefully that will help. And for any new programs, that will be a requirement that we do.
Excellent, thank you. Yeah. Just a final question on this item, and it may or may not be the appropriate time, but are we gonna get an update? We're in a bit of a cash flow pickle. Will we get an update on that situation? Or is this the time to get that update?
I'm not 100% sure if you'll get it today, but the budget as we are putting it together anticipates that we will likely avoid a negative cash flow situation over the upcoming budget year if all goes as we're foreseeing it right now. It'll be tight on a couple of the months where we get some of the sawtooth spikes of costs versus revenues, but we're anticipating to see no negative cash flow situation in any particular month if things go as we're foreseeing right now.
What about in the current time? I mean, we approved a line of credit and you know, we're prepared to draw on that. Have we done that? And are we expecting to do so? And are we expecting to then pay it off? Just where are we with the current situation?
Our budget forecast as currently configured includes the payoff of that note by the end of this current calendar year.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Mayor Gregory? Good. Okay. And this is just a direction item, so do you have what you need?
I do indeed, thank you.
Okay, great. And now we're gonna move on to two things that were raised before. So one is the carbon-free subsidy for low-income customers that was discussed just in that report. So Ms. Barrows, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, members of Desert Community Energy. As discussed at the last meeting, we have proposed a suspension of the current subsidy that the CareFare or low-income customers are receiving that was approved by this body last year. That suspension would be a temporary suspension that could be brought back at a point at which the board deems that it's appropriate to do so. In light of some of the challenges with, as mentioned, power prices and other things, we're looking at ways to trim costs where we can. This change would actually result in no change, as mentioned, as Don Day mentioned. Customers are currently receiving the carbon-free product at Desert Saver rates. So those low-income customers have always paid the lower cost for their electricity. And the difference now would be that they would no longer be receiving carbon-free, but they would continue to pay the lower cost at the Desert Saver rate. It was noted by, I think, by Chair Kors at the City Council meeting at Palm Springs on February 8th that this would also actually give a little bit of relief to the other customers who have been subsidizing those customers. But I did want to just confirm that as requested and by the board and Chair Kors, the City Council on April 8th did meet and support the suspension of this subsidy. So with that, the recommendation is that we that the board suspend the existing subsidy providing DCE's carbon-free energy to customers in low-income assistance programs, and that those customers would be maintained at the Desert Saver rate. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions? Okay. With that, do we have a motion?
So I would move staff recommendation to suspend the subsidy at this time.
Second.
Great, thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it is unanimous. Thank you. We'll move to the next item, which we also touched on in the prior presentation, which is the content for the carbon-free product. And I think, Jacqueline Hart is on. Thank you. We'll do a staff report, please. Thank you.
Yes, we have, I believe, just one slide for you. So this is bringing back an item that we brought to the board last month for consideration with direction to bring it to Palm Springs. Katie did that ably at the last Palm Springs meeting at 11:30, as Mayor, or as Jeff Kors noted. And so I'm just here to talk through the results from that and get board direction. Next slide, please. So the item in front of the board today is a discussion of the environmental targets to set for the carbon-free product. Currently, the carbon-free product is set at 100% carbon-free power, with 50% of that power coming from renewable in-state renewable sources, also referred to as PCC1 here in California. And we have three different options for where the carbon-free product could go in the future that would still maintain some environmental goals while addressing some fiscal concerns that have developed in relation to the changing energy market. So the first option on here today, option one, is to maintain the 100% carbon-free content, but to reduce the renewable content goal from 50% to 35.75%, which is the state RPS mandate for 2021, and meet that with 100% in-state renewables. The estimated cost savings for this approach would be just a little over $600,000 at current market prices. Option number two is to have the same target renewable content of 35.75%, but to meet that with a mixture of renewables, not just in-state, but some out-of-state renewables and some what's called unbundled renewable energy credits, which is still coming from renewable power, but not bundled with the actual electrons flowing. So the state requirement for just general RPS mandate is that the mixture of renewables as used is at least 75% in-state renewable, no more than 10% unbundled, which leaves 15% for out-of-state renewables. And so that cost savings would be about $100,000 higher than option number one at $738,000. And then option number three is the same renewable mixture as in option number two. So the compliance mix of renewables, but drops the carbon content down from 100% to 80%. And the estimated cost savings compared to the current approach would be just over $1 million, at $1,085,000. Glad to take any questions from the board regarding these different mixes. I know that there's a lot of jargon in here, so also glad to dive in a bit deeper if you have any questions.
Thanks. And just some feedback from the Palm Springs City Council meeting, where we were all in agreement on option two, that, you know, although we've talked at times, both at the city level and at DCE, at some point, you know, having a renewable product where people could opt up to would be great, that our focus has been the carbon-free. And that's what we promise people. That's what still polls with people who are willing to spend 10% or more for that product. The majority in Palm Springs still support that. And so we didn't want to go below that, but we want to do as much cost savings as we could while still providing the 100% carbon free. So just some background for that. So any questions or comments? Mayor Gregory, please.
So this is where I'm joining the same line of questioning as council member Jonathan was kind of getting at, is I can certainly agree with the desire to try to keep the energy as clean as possible, especially the carbon free. But financially, is this cut going to be enough to get the ship righted back, or are we just kicking the can down the road and making it worse by not taking the bigger cost savings now, and then possibly going to have to face something even more dire in the future?
That's a great question. It's a little challenging to answer, as the energy markets have been relatively volatile in the past several months, and may continue to do so. This is one large lever, I think, that the board has at its disposal, with the other sort of major lever being rate adjustments. And so I think, those two need to be balanced out against each other. The recommended staff movement to go to 100% carbon free with the compliant mixture of renewables, I think is a good balancing act of, you know, being sure that you're meeting what you promised your customers in that carbon free product, while also managing those cost savings. So while it may mean that, you know, we'll have to consider, you know, rate action, you know, I think that would be one option. We can always return to this mixture if it seems like, you know, the financial markets have moved significantly against us in some way in the future. So it's not tying your hand, it's simply, you know, giving direction for the next several months.
So for several months. So how often is this anticipated to be reviewed and either come back and shared with the board that it looks like this is going to work, or it looks like we need to take more corrective action?
So the plan would be for this to be the target for at the very least 2021. I believe the staff motion is worded such that it's open-ended. It's also open-ended in the sense that there's no set date that the target for the carbon-free product changes to another structure. It's also open in the sense that it gives staff discretion to increase the renewable target if the financial situation improves and, you know, energy costs decrease over time, and there's the ability to you know, increase the amount of renewables that are being procured. You know, if we see a really great deal, essentially, we can go in and nab it. In terms of, you know, how I would see this coming back to the board, I think as we move through the summer months, you know, we'll have additional financial discussions with the board on a quarterly basis where this can be, you know, one component that we're discussing. And then, you know, sometime in early Q4, we would return to the board and could discuss the environmental targets set overall for 2022.
Okay, I appreciate your answer and your candor in that. Just think we need to realize that that with some of the numbers we were presented before, this may not get us out of the woods, and there may be additional painful decisions that need to be made. I, of course, acquiesce to what Palm Springs wishes at this point, because frankly, you know, they're going to feel the actual pain there, whichever way this goes. But I do appreciate us laying it all out on the table that with some of the numbers we looked at the last number, or at the last meeting, if there's any, especially if there's any more glitches or in the cost of energy per se, this may not be nearly enough. So there may be more pain in the future, but we'll hope not. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate those questions from Mayor Gregory. You know, it occurs to me that things will change after June 30th, when I think Cathedral City will no longer be a board member on DCE. And it may not be as easy to change, or maybe it'll be easier, I don't know, to change things. I can see, for example, a scenario where the city of Palm Springs wants to maintain option two, let's say, and let's say the other board member deems it financially unsound, it takes a majority to make the change, and that would not be a majority. So, you know, change might not be as easy as one might think. That's just an observation, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And who knows, maybe Cathedral City will change its mind. You know, we can always hope and wish. But I concur that at this point, certainly, it would be appropriate to accede to the desires of the city of Palm Springs. They're the ones impacted by it. And at the same time, keep an eye on the fiscal integrity of the organization and make sure that, if necessary, we're prepared to make the difficult decisions. Thank you. I guess with that, I'll move for approval of option two.
Okay, a motion?
It appears staff wanted to make a comment, so can we hear the comment?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead and finish the motion and then I can add my comment. Thank you.
Well, go ahead. I'm not going to second until I hear your comment.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify in response to Councilmember Jonathan's question on the last item. Just to be clear, the line of credit was approved, and we are currently working towards getting the paperwork and the final document signed. So that was very good news. That puts us in a better position as described. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
It is now. Thank you, Katie.
Yes, thank you. I guess the assumption is, at least for me, is that we're gonna use it as we need it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have requested it. So I'm anticipating it would be used. So I'll second the motion.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Our last action item is Senate Bill 612 and Fair Access to Legacy Energy Resources. And really appreciate the staff report. So Ms. Marrows, if you want to present on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of DCE. This is a review of the staff report. As we have discussed in the past, one of the challenges that we have faced in terms of cost is the power charge and difference adjustment, or the so-called exit fee. There have been efforts underway to try to address some of the concerns with regard to that. And more recently, CalCCA, of which DCE is an active member, has become involved in the legislature and sponsored a bill, SB 612, which is now authored by Senator Portantino of Lackawanna Flint Ridge, to try to address the situation. And as the staff report describes, SB 612 is really targeted at trying to level the playing field, if you will, taking a look at legacy resources, which are renewable contracts that were procured by the investor-owned utilities in the past when it was more expensive, and potentially factored into the PCIA. So just briefly to describe what this bill would do is to require that the IOUs offer their excess power from legacy resources to community choice entities as well as others when their customers are paying for it in proportion to their share of the load. It also requires utilities to offer a solicitation of any excess wholesale market electricity they may have and credit customers for the funds that were recovered. It requires the CPUC to recognize the value of carbon-free electricity and credits customers for that full value. And it also focuses on encouraging and seeing that these legacy contracts are managed to maximize the value for all customers and to make sure that excess power and costs are minimized in those supply contracts. As I mentioned, CalCCA is very actively promoting support for this legislation and ask that CCAs consider a recommendation of support, which is what we're bringing to you today. They've also recommended that member agencies could write letters of support as well. And I appreciate that the City of Palm Springs has a letter on their agenda. If others are interested, we could provide you with that information. This legislation goes to the Energy, Utilities, and Communications Committee on April 26th. So that's obviously the first step, and they are there's an active effort to work for support of that legislation. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And the recommendation is support Senate Bill 612 and authorize the chair and or executive director to sign letters of support and advocate for its approval. With that, I'd be happy to answer questions if you have any.
Questions?
I will comment. I mean, it uses terms like we want the process to be fair. We want it to be equitable. We want to make sure that where customers are paying for something that they're getting their fair value back out of it. So those are all things that I think, well, hopefully we all support. I certainly support. And so I would move that we support this bill.
Thank you. Motion?
Second.
Great. Thank you. A motion and a second. And just briefly, I've done some outreach to some of the co-authors, just see where it's going. I think the amendments seem to have addressed some of the concerns that have been raised. But once we have this, then we can officially start doing some advocacy. So appreciate that. So can we have a vote, please? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes, it's unanimous. In support of fairness. So thank you, Mayor. I think it's important to point that out. That's really what this is about, right? Equity and fairness and on this. Okay, great, so thank you. So that covers those. We move to information items. If anyone has anything they want to raise on any of those. If not, we'll move to public comment on non-agenda items. So this is for anyone to address the group on non-agenda items, but issues that are within our purview. Please raise your hand or hit star 9. I see Brad Anderson has his hand raised. So Mr. Anderson, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, again, my name is Brad Anderson. I currently live in the city of Ranch Mirage, and I just wanted to hit a few items here. I know I only have 2 minutes, but I guess my concerns with DCE is NC VAG 2 is the, I guess, the three voting members, and that's always been a concern with mine, and I know it's been a year now since Palm Springs initiated this compact, I guess, or their process of supplying energy to the residents, which is great. And I thought the city councilor would move in and take more, and I know they have, but my main issue is the three voting members. And then, like there was mentioned earlier, that one will be dropping off, hopefully. and then Palm Desert shortly after. But I don't know if that's going to happen. And I guess, as I stated before, CVAG and DCE has limited the public participation in these meetings just by the changing the agenda items of public comment and limiting speaking time. And with three voting members, I know that's an issue. Anybody, I think, with common sense would look at that and say, hey, that's not right. They got to have more members and more input. But anyway, I hope you look at that further, because I will, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else? Shall we see
any other hands raised, and we didn't receive any emailed comments.
Okay, great. So we'll end public comment on non-agenda items. Our next meeting will be by Zoom, maybe the last one by Zoom, and is set for Monday, May 17th at 2:30 p.m. So we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you everyone who listened, and thank you for staff and fellow board members for your participation and input. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, everyone. Good to see all of you.
Take care.